And we'll start our program with Christopher Purdy, who is the Associate Deputy Administrator for the Community Procurement Program at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Agricultural Marketing Service in Washington, D.C. Chris has been with AMS for over 13 years now and joined the Community Procurement Program about 2 years ago to assist in the management of the program. He is also responsible for developing and maintaining relationships with industry groups, with an interest in Section 32, which deals with trade mitigation, food bulks, and other purchases. He is a graduate of Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, with a BA degree in government, and he has earned a certificate of business administration from Georgetown University and also attended Harbor Kennedy School's Senior Executive Fellowship Program. Without any further ado, Chris, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Romero. Is my sound coming through okay?
It is.
Okay, terrific.
Go ahead.
I'll get started. I really appreciate that introduction. Again, my name is Chris Purdy. I'm with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, specifically the group that purchases a whole host of U.S. agriculture products for distribution to schools, food banks, tribal organizations, and other USDA-supported feeding operations. Got a presentation. I want to tell you a little bit about the program, and then we'll dive into the food box program. I am excited to see that a number of fellow panelists from Puget Sound Inland were contractors to the food box program. And so I'm very interested to get some feedback on how they thought the program went, as well as a couple of subcontractors, I believe, to the program, Lone Mountain and Juniper Hills. So I'm looking forward to that perspective. Give you just a feel for our mission. Our mission is to facilitate the marketing of 100% domestically produced agriculture products. And we do that by purchasing food for domestic as well as international nutrition assistance programs. We buy on behalf of, we're essentially the buying agent for U.S. Agency for International Development, the USDA Foreign Ag Service, as well as the Food and Nutrition Service, which helps run the national program in partnership with the states to supply schools and other organizations with agriculture product. We are an acquisition program. Everything we do is done using a competitive bidding process guided by the federal acquisition regulations and agricultural acquisition regulations. Very often we get people just joining the program and they're a little curious as to why we have so many rules and regulations, and it's because we need to keep within the law that's outlined within those regulations. Just an example of what we buy. We buy a lot of fresh and processed fruits and vegetables, a variety of meat products, pork, beef, more and more seafood products, dairy, as well as a variety of beans and peas and lentils, as well as rice and other products, specifically for domestic and international markets. Typically, we buy from vendors that are registered to do business with us. They have to go through an application process to become a registered USDA vendor. And once they do that, they can bid on most of our solicitations. I'll talk a little bit about what that means down the in a few slides. About half of our contracts we award are to small businesses, 500 employees or less, socially disadvantaged, women-owned, service-disabled, veteran-owned, and hub zones. I'd like to put a little pitch in for anybody listening who has a farm or a ranch or a company that processes U.S. foods, and learning more about becoming a vendor to the USDA. I have a couple of names on the slide here. Terrific people who can help walk through the new vendor registration process and certainly talk about some of the opportunities we have available for businesses to sell to the USDA. And I'm fairly sure the meeting organizers will make this slide available for those contact for those contacts as well. As I mentioned, kind of our ongoing purchases, we're purchasing for Food Nutrition Service and their various programs they support. These are entitlement purchases, money that's provided to us each year to purchase particular programs based on nutrition program recipient demand, meaning the demand that the schools have for particular products, as well as the food banks. Volume is fairly consistent year over year. We have a number of special purchase efforts. Certainly the food box program falls within that, but we have a number of ongoing special purchase programs, or I should say one ongoing special purchase program, the Section 32 program. It's a Depression era law that enables specific commodity groups to essentially petition the USDA to purchase a particular commodity to assist growers and ranchers and processors with a particular market challenge. We conduct, once an industry group comes in and makes a request, we conduct an independent analysis based on market conditions and recipient needs. Are we getting a good product at a good price? We're making a recommendation to the secretary to purchase that particular product, and this product is typically distributed to food banks. Over the past two fiscal years, we have had a program designed to assist farmers and ranchers impacted by trade tensions. It's the Food Purchase and Distribution Program, otherwise known as Trade Mitigation. It is complete for fiscal year 20, which ends at the end of September. We purchased about $1.2 billion worth of products that went to primarily food banks, a whole variety of fresh fruits, processed fruits, vegetables, meat, dairy, beans, and rice and such. In addition, we're about to talk about the food box program. That's another special purchase effort that we've been asked to undertake as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. As the country went into lockdown as a result of the hit of the pandemic, we saw some impacts to the supply chain occurring very, very rapidly. Restaurants closing, schools closing, other food service outlets shutting down, causing a whole number of disturbing pictures, from farmers plowing under crops to milk being dumped to, in some cases, animals being euthanized, because those markets disappeared almost overnight. The secretary came to us and asked us to develop a program using our purchasing capabilities, purchasing experience, to help solve some of those problems. We started out, we had an immediate need that we saw for produce, but then very quickly some of the other industries came in and explained to the department that they were also being dramatically hit by the pandemic. We looked to take advantage of a couple of capabilities out there. The we were interested in purchasing product, fresh product, and cooked product for the meats, but also to take advantage of the commercial distribution network that was currently in place. distributors, wholesalers, that were suddenly without markets. We wanted to use their infrastructure to help move product to the recipient organizations, and we decided to open that up to really any nonprofit organization that could help distribute the product. We also quickly saw that the nonprofit organizations, the food banks, were losing volunteers. They did not have the capability to move the product that was coming in the into the warehouses and the food pantries. So we decided to fashion what we called eventually called the Farmers to Family Food Box Program, asking contractors to source product, box it up, and using relationships with their nonprofit organizations to get those boxes, using their trucks and other methods to get it to the distribution points, usually in food banks, church parking lots, community-based organizations, as well as some schools. It was started out as to be a very modest program. We were planning for about $300 million in purchases per month, $100 million for each commodity group. Response was overwhelming. The secretary pushed us to do more, and he provided additional funding to do that. Ultimately, our goal is to purchase about $4 billion worth of food boxes to distribute to locations nationwide. Essentially, we're looking for a truck-to-trunk model to move the food boxes the way they needed to go. We also saw at the same time long lines at food banks of people who wouldn't traditionally go to a food bank, who needed help as a result of losing their jobs or being laid off because of the pandemic. We were tasked to do this very quickly. We essentially had about a month to put together, design a program, issue a solicitation, review them, and make awards. Ultimately, we awarded about 200 contracts to companies who said they could help us distribute throughout the nation as well as the two territories. Once we awarded contracts, we saw that there were some areas that we missed. So we went in and took a look at some contracts and identified some areas that we need some assistance. North Dakota, Maine, Alaska, for instance, were some states that did not receive a whole lot of food box support. So we added some contractors to help us reach those areas. The focus of the first phase of the program was market support to food insecure population as well. We wanted to make sure that we were purchasing product that was normally going to restaurants. We looked at product that we wouldn't normally purchase through our regular purchase programs. And we wanted to make the product a variety of nutrition, a quality of that would be beneficial to anybody receiving those boxes. The requirements for vendors, and I'm looking forward to receiving some feedback on this, requirements for vendors, normally we would have them go through a vendor registration process. We realized we didn't have the time, luxury of time to do that. So within our proposal process, we built a set of requirements so that we could review those requirements, identify if it was a company that had a good plan, a good track record, good solid financials, and issued our solicitation. We gave companies very little time to respond. It was about a week, but we received no overwhelming response. We got about 550 responses, I believe, of companies responding to our solicitation. and ultimately awarded about 200 contracts on a convention. Delivery started May 15th. We have continued deliveries through various rounds of contracting to continue food boxes going to where they need to go to the needy. This phase, this round of awards that we are in the middle of or about wrapping up was different. Our focus was on the lowest price per box awarded in each state. We wanted to make sure each county was serviced, and we awarded vendors contracts for the low price within counties. Our feedback from previous iterations of the program, we heard that a more balanced mix of food in the food box was desirable. So we indicated a preference for a combination box versus individual boxes, the produce, dairy, and meat boxes that we were purchasing before. We issue contracts to about 50 companies that are currently delivering. We are requiring that the vendors who receive contracts deliver to specific counties to ensure that we have widespread coverage across the country. We, as the first couple of rounds of contracting, we continue to realize that we have some gaps in coverage. Once we awarded the latest round of contracts, we went back and realized that we had some territorial gaps, that is. And so we went back to some vendors who had submitted proposals, asked them if they could service additional areas, and extended additional contracts to those companies. The program is scheduled to end October 31st. Our funding runs out. There certainly is conjecture that about it continuing. We don't have any additional information about whether that's going to happen. It's all dependent on funding. And at that point, just want to kind of wrap up and very, very happy to answer questions, about the structure of the program, what we're looking for from the vendors that we were, issuing contracts, solicitations and ultimately contracts for, and how the program's being received, moving forward. So at this point, I appreciate the time, happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chris, for the detailed insight into the program. We have time for a couple of questions, and one of those is, from your perspective, how successful has the program been? What would you do differently if it were to continue into the future?
Well, we measure success by how many boxes we've been able to purchase and distribute. And to date, since May 15th, we have distributed over 106 million boxes to individuals and families. So we're just extremely excited about that, that success. Anecdotally, we've received tremendous feedback from those on the receiving ends, the nonprofit organizations that we are that are receiving the boxes, the individuals that are receiving the boxes, just overwhelming positive feedback on the program. Certainly, given the speed and the complexity of what we put together, there's things that we're learning along the way. But based on the pure numbers and the feedback that we're receiving, we're excited about the results.
Terrific. Thank you. One other question that it sort of relates, I think, to accountability to a certain extent. How does do the program quantify, USDA and the procurement program quantify what goes into a box? How is that verified, if done in any way?
Well, the first round of the program, our requirements were fairly fairly open. You know, we left it to the contractors to, in partnership with the nonprofits, to design a box that was comprised of as much a locally produced product as possible, with a variety of fruits and vegetables, all domestically grown. And they had the option of delivering, of producing, you know, just a produce box, just a dairy box, just a meat box, or a combination. This latest round, based on feedback, became a lot more prescriptive in what we wanted to see within those boxes. Certainly I mentioned a combination box was what we are purchasing now. With a variety of different commodities within that box, but we're a lot more prescriptive for this round of contracting.
Thank you. And one final question before we move on to the panel, and we appreciate your willingness to stay on with us to participate in the Q&A at the end of the program. But if you were to look at your crystal ball, what do you expect to happen with the Food Box program in the future? Do you expect it to continue beyond the current deadline?
As I mentioned, it all depends on funding. I mean, one thing that I do want to say about the Food Box program is that we have proven that it can work with our partnership with companies like Puget Sound and Inland. We've proven the concept can work. We can purchase very large volumes of fresh product, assembled in a box, and distribute it to nonprofit organizations who can get it directly to where it needs to go. We rely a lot on our vendors to be responsible for everything from the field to ultimate destination. But I think we've proven that working together, the agriculture industry, companies, distributors, nonprofits can move a lot of fresh product to where it needs to be.
Thank you, Chris. Excellent information. We will now continue on, and again, thank you for staying with us for the remaining of the program.